and welcome to Salt of the Oats Radio Broadcast. This program is dedicated to training and equipping the saints to fulfill the Great Commission. We're an evangelism team within Set the Captives Free Ministries, and our focus is reaching out to the lost. We hope you are blessed. Well, what do you think of the new intro? Just trying something a little new. If you want, I can go back to the other one. Only if you really prefer it. Well, today, we are on the series of Go Therefore and Now What? Part 3. The Silent Preacher's Tool. Nothing is more effective at being a silent preacher than that of a gospel tract. Billy Graham once said, I got to do my Billy Graham voice, nothing surpasses a tract for sowing the seed of the good news. I'll work on it. But what exactly is a gospel tract? It's really just a piece of paper with a summary of the gospel message, simplified so that a non-Christian can understand. See, Charles Spurgeon once said, and I'll do my best on the Charles Spurgeon one. Tracts are for those who don't have the tongue of the eloquent, but have the hands of the diligent. In other words, tracts make it possible for any Christian to be able to share his or her faith without fear of messing up. I mean, if anybody messes up when it comes to reading a gospel tract, it's either a misprint on the tract itself, or you just read it wrong. So it's very simple. It's a great way to take that first step in sharing your faith. The Go Therefore and Now What, Part 1, was the who, what, when, where, why of evangelism. Then Part 2, the motive for evangelism. What we're doing when we do it. So today is when you finally get to that point where you are actually doing it. See, you don't have to get on a soapbox and stand on the street corner in the middle of Times Square and start proclaiming the gospel in order to be evangelized. It's not necessary. If you want to do that as your first way of evangelizing, good for you. Just understand the concept that we established last week, law to the proud, grace to the humble. But for those of you who are a little bit more chicken, this is a great way to start out. You don't even have to hand it to anybody. You can just leave it somewhere, somewhere that you know is going to get picked up. But if you're a little more vocal in sharing your faith, like myself, but you don't want to come off too fanatical, they're helpful tools in showing you whether the individual is ready to hear the gospel. You see, there have been many times where I've done it and I've worked with other people, brothers and sisters in the Lord who have done it also, where they're like, hi, did you get one of these? Would you like one? It's about Jesus. You want to talk about Jesus? Huh? Please talk about Jesus. I want to talk to you about Jesus. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I'm sure you've either been there yourself or you know who I'm talking about. Is it wrong to do it that way? No, it is not wrong to do it that way. It's fine. In this case, it's not a matter of right or wrong, it's a matter of good and better. The fact that you're doing it is a good start. But there are much better ways to do it. You see, you gotta wait and see how they receive it. Because not everybody is in the exact same place when it comes to coming to the war. Some people, their ground hadn't even been plowed up yet. There's a lot of work to do there. Others, they are ripe for the harvest, where all you gotta do is just pluck the fruit right off the plant, right off the tree, and you're all set. So, there may be times when they're just going to completely ignore you. I don't know why I said maybe. There will be times when people are just going to ignore you. And for those people, you just keep going. They say no. All right, have a good day. There are going to be also times where you hand it to somebody. Hi, did you get one of these? Oh, what is it? The gospel tract. Oh, what's that mean? And then you can have a chance to actually share with them a little bit. It doesn't mean you suddenly just jump on a soapbox like, oh, good, I got a listener. You know, you don't have to jump the gun quite like that. But you can see their body language and see what the deal is with how they're responding. It helps you get a gauge of where the Holy Spirit is in their lives. Because we cannot forget this, listen carefully, it is the Holy Spirit who is truly doing the work when it comes to converting the soul. We do not do the converting, that is the job of the Holy Spirit. We obediently share the message with people. That's all we do. Okay? Another good use of gospel tracts is that if you're stuck in a pointless debate and you really just don't know how to end it tactfully, they're effective conversation enders. If I had a dollar for every time I've been in a situation where I just wanted to get away from this person, well, I'd be able to make a real $1 million bill. But in those situations, you just pull one out like, hey, listen, have one of these. It's a summary of everything we were trying to talk about. You know, and you could even give them some contact information and just, you know, say something along the lines of, listen, if you're serious about this, you give me a call. But if you're not, stop wasting my time. You know, plain and simple. Because let's face it, there are just some people out there who are just, they are evil little devils, and they have no more purpose in life other than to just hinder the spread of the gospel. And for those people, I don't waste my time. As soon as I figure out that they're one of those people, I just, I'm done. Bye-bye. See you later. You see, and the other thing is that those little pieces of paper can infiltrate areas where you may not necessarily be able to preach the gospel. For instance, if you go in the mall, you're not going to be able to go in the middle of the mall and set up a soapbox and start proclaiming the gospel openly. It's just not going to work out. However, what you can do when you're in the bathroom, just put one in the stall by the toilet paper, you know, or by the hand dryer. Not that anybody ever washes their hands. Ugh, I don't like using public restrooms for that one reason. But that is beside the point. The point is that these little pieces of paper, you can leave them places and kind of get away before anybody realizes what the deal is. What do I do with them? What do you do with a gospel tract? Well, the simplest thing you can do is you can leave them places, but do it discreetly. For instance, if you have like $1 million bill, just kind of crumple it up, just kind of have it in your hand, and just be like, oops, I dropped something. But make no notice of it. You can leave it in shopping carts when you're at the grocery store. Put them in grocery store shelves. I quite enjoy going to the prophylactic section of various grocery stores and put a gospel tract right in those. There's one in particular has the pair of the judges' scales, and it says innocent or guilty. I love putting them there. Because I'm sure it makes those people think. Makes them think with their head, not what they're about to cover up. Anyway. I myself have put them in shoes in shoe stores. I mean, who knows how long it's going to take before anybody discovers them. Which doesn't really sound that good initially, but the point being is that you can kind of get away before anybody notices that you're doing something. Plus, shoe stores, like Payless, their shelves are huge. They go all the way up to the ceiling, so, you know, you're kind of hidden. You're hidden pretty well. You know, if you're, like, in a state park, you can leave them in the brochure shelves if nobody's watching. You can put them in the envelopes of your bill payments. But make sure you actually pay your bill along with it. But seriously, guys, if you're not paying your bill and you're giving them a gospel tract instead, that's really giving Christianity a bad name. Or you're in a restaurant with a generous tip. You're going to put a gospel tract in there. First of all, table's a mess. Don't leave a gospel tract. Clean it up first. Be a nice customer and leave at least 25% tip. I'm serious about that. There have been times where I just instinctively will put a little $1 million bill gospel tract on the table at a restaurant as we're leaving, and she just about thumped me upside the head because, well, we had our kids with us and they're toddlers, and well, they were toddlers. Boys will be boys. 3-year-olds and 2-year-olds will be 3-year-olds and 2-year-olds. It was a mess. And she wanted to thump me upside the head. She's like, wait, don't leave a gospel tract there. We just made a mess. Okay, yes, dear. I love you. As you wish. You can leave them in waiting rooms. Inside magazines. I already mentioned the restroom thing, but it's good to point it out again. ATMs. I'm waiting for somebody to make a credit card gospel tract. Actually, you know what? I think Living Waters has one. I'll have to look into that. In fact, if you guys are, those of you who are listening out there, look into it for me, just so I know you're listening. Yeah, hotel dressers, if you're lucky enough to actually get hotels, you know, letters to loved ones. So a lot of places to leave stuff, you know, gospel tracts and such. Now, if you are handing them out, a couple house cleaning things. First of all, make sure your breath don't stink. You're going to actually talk to people. Put a mint in your mouth or chew some gum or something. It's fair if they get offended by your bad breath. They won't necessarily even be offended by the gospel, but they will be offended by your breath. Just throwing that out there. Because they're not going to say hallelujah, they're going to say halitosis. Which I think the word halitosis is more of just a test to see what your breath smells like. Because, I mean, you start out by going, I don't know, just a thought. So with fresh breath in mind, you simply smile, make eye contact with the person you want to give the gospel tract to, and, you know, hi, how you doing? Did you get one of these? Here's why I say, did you get one of these? Because if you say, would you like one of these, they're going to say no. I mean, nothing against you personally. They it's not that they're not nice people. It's just that we live in a society that when they're offered something and they're given a chance to say no, they're going to just say no because, oh, who are you? You're a stranger. And thank elementary school for that, the whole stranger danger thing. Now, even as adults, it's like everybody's just out to get you now. So, if you say, did you get one of these? It does two things. First of all, if you're standing there on the street corner giving out gospel tracts, people might be making laughs. So you may have seen that person before, you just don't remember giving them one. So if you say, "Did you get one of these?" it's a humble confession that you don't necessarily remember whether you had given them one before. And they'll usually say, "Yeah, I already got one." But if you say, "Would you like one?" and they already have one, they're going to get a little annoyed. But the other thing that's equally as powerful and effective is by saying, "Did you get one of these?" it makes them feel as though they're being left out of something cool. Because people like free. Yeah? Yeah? And it is okay to call it a gospel tract when people ask what it is. But if you're not as brave, it's okay. You can just tell them exactly what it is. You know, for instance, if you give out a $1 million bill, you can just say, "Oh, it's $1 million. It's fine. You'll grow more bold as you do this more often. But that is the point when you'll kind of see whether they are ready for evangelism. Because if they're not, don't waste your time. Pray for them. Be friendly. Be blameless. And pray that that tract can do something to get into their head. It's fair. The rights of using tracts. This is some good stuff right here. So the definition of soliciting or solicitation is that you are selling something or collecting donations. You see, when you are soliciting, you are expecting something in return when you give them something. Now the definition of leafletting is just simply handing out literature with no expectation of anything in return. That, my friends, dear listeners, is what you are doing when you are handing out gospel tracts. That's all. You are leafletting. So when someone tells you that there's no soliciting allowed, agree with them. Because if all you're doing is handing out tracts, you're not soliciting. You are leafletting. And that is completely permissible in the public realm. You see, it is very important to understand that you have the right, not just the privilege, but the right to hand out tracts in the public realm. Even other religions have that right too. I mean, I could be standing on one side of the road handing out tracts, and then a Satanist could be on the other side of the road. A Satanist could be right next to me, handing out tracts. I'd figure out a way to get away from them, so that people don't think we're on the same side. But guess what? They have the right to do that too. Legally, it is fine. But it is our right, because it is acceptable to non-Christians to be handing out their literature, we need to be doing the same thing, if not more so. The only few exceptions are simply a matter of safety and order. For example, you can't just be doing a giant parade whenever there's already a parade going on in the same street. I mean, we are talking about tracts, but in general, with speech demonstrations, it's a matter of safety and order. So certain areas might require that you just make a reservation for a space and a time. The sidewalk is completely fine. As long as it is not privately owned, it is perfectly fine. You do not need to make reservations on the streets. The only stipulation for the streets is that you don't block vehicle or pedestrian traffic. As soon as you start blocking that stuff, well, you're going to have some problems. And the police will rightly be able to tell you to move. But that's all they can do, is just tell you to move. But if you're on a college campus, that's a little tougher. But all you have to do is you just got to make a phone call and you ask them, where's your free speech zone? Because state colleges, public colleges, have those areas. They may not be very big, and they're probably not going to be very convenient. Because they don't exactly want this kind of thing going on in their property. But they are required by U.S. constitutional free speech law to allow that. It's compromise. Because with a state college, part of the state taxes fund it, and the other part is paid for by the individuals who go there. So, okay, it's kind of a compromise. I can deal with it. But you shouldn't have to pay money to go to a state college free speech zone to hand out tracts. And the establishments are required by law, by free speech law, to give you an equal choice as everyone else. So the Gay Alliance Club shouldn't have any better of a chance to hand out their literature at a 90-degree angle whenever they're handing it to you. I'm sorry, that was a little mean. They shouldn't have any better of a chance than you just because they're different from you. Everybody has got an equal chance based on the Constitution. Public parks are fair game as long as the authorities know who you are. Once again, it's a matter of state freedom, safety and order. They may give you a little bit of trouble, but just have some identification on you. Be pleasant, be polite, and if they give you any kind of trouble, you get their contact information, you get their name, and you contact the Alliance Defending Freedom. But another important thing is when you go out to hand out tracts, let your ministry know where you are and what you're doing, just so they can verify that you're doing this. So that if they get in trouble, they can be proven not crazy. If anything, have them write a letter for you stating that they approve. So if you work with me in ministry and you want to go out to downtown Poughkeepsie, first of all, you better not be doing it alone at 2 in the morning. But if you want to go out and you want to start handing out tracts and the police give you trouble, make sure before you go out to have my contact information available to you. I will write you a letter if you're working with me. If you're a total stranger, forget it. I'm not writing you no letter. But just to make sure that people know where you are and what you're doing. That's kind of a rundown of the rights of using tracts. There's a lot more, but this is the most important stuff for a street ministry. So for those of you who are still not convinced that tracts are an effective way to reach out to people, here's some stories of people getting saved by tracts. So here's a story by a man named Richard Gunther. He says, "A Christian I met in a home group said his job was raking litter off the Avon River. It was dull, boring work, and he often wondered what life was all about. One day he raked a soggy piece of paper off the water and decided that it was interesting enough to keep. So he carefully placed it in his bag and took it home. That evening he dried the paper in front of a heater and carefully unfolded it. Then he read it. It was a gospel tract, and he became a Christian that evening." George Whitfield. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with George Whitfield, you are either a young Christian or you are not a Calvinist. Now, just because I've heard of George Whitfield does not make me a Calvinist. So, just throwing that out there. But he read one called "The Life of God in the Soul of a Man." Oh, I just realized I got to do my George Whitfield voice. Okay, he said, "God showed me I must be born again or be damned. He went on to pray, Lord, if I am not a Christian, or if I am not a real one, for Jesus Christ's sake, show me what Christianity is, that I may not be damned at last. And his journal tells us, from that moment did I know that I must become a new creature. Pretty good, huh? I mean, we don't know what he sounded like, but I thought that was pretty awesome. Anyway, George Whitefield was a very, very big-time preacher, a part of the Great Awakening, and had a major role in revivals within the early part, the early portion of the country's history, this country's history. So there was a diver who found a piece of paper clutched in an oyster shell. He grabbed it and found that it was a gospel tract and said, I can't hold out any longer. His mercy is so great that he caused his word to follow me even to the bottom of the ocean. That's a shell of a story, right? I hope it could have been a pearl of wisdom for you. There was a college student once who was offered a gospel tract on campus. He crumpled it up and threw it in the garbage once he got back to his dorm. That night, his roommate found it and got saved. You gotta love this stuff. You can't make it up. Pastor Bobby Hargraves, who is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel of the Hudson Valley, the church that I go to, when he was younger, he was also offered a gospel tract on the bus. He was going to the YMCA, and this old lady handed him a gospel tract. And he basically just waited until she didn't see him anymore. And he just kind of tossed it on the ground. He didn't want any of that nonsense. He didn't want people preaching to him. So he just took it and threw it on the ground. I guess he wasn't a part of this system. Anyway, he gets off the bus and walks several blocks, gets to the YMCA, and he sits down, and he finds that there is a piece of paper on his shoe. And that piece of paper, yes, it is, in fact, the gospel tract that the lady gave him. Now, that is not the ultimate point at which he got saved, but it certainly made an impact on him, and it got him thinking. So, in conclusion, if you realize the importance of reaching out to the lost, but you don't know where to start, this is a great way to get into it. Keep some on you at all times. It'll help you feel more equipped to reach out. Personally, I endorse the Million Dollar Bill tracks from Living Waters. They're about $5 for 100 of them. In fact, they're actually a lot cheaper right now. And they just came out with a new one. It's in full color with the picture of Benjamin Franklin on it. It's really neat. But they're the same size as regular money, and they fit nicely in your wallet. So I always have a wallet full of Million Dollar Bill tracks. And I never have regular money in my wallet for that very reason. I mean, that would certainly make somebody's day. I have a $100 bill in my pocket and I give it to somebody. Here, have $1 million. This is $100 and this is real. Oh, give that back. Who am I kidding? Why would I have a $100 bill want $100 lying around anyway? I'm not rich. But the $1 million bills are a little more discreet in the presentation, meaning that you have to look a little closer at it to discover what it's really all about. That way, if you're in an environment that's hostile to the gospel, you can get quite a few out before anyone even notices. One time I was in an elementary school. I wasn't going there as a student, but I was perfectly permitted to be there because my family was visiting a friend's family. Their kids were in the concert for like a winter thing. Not Christmas, it was a winter thing. So they were a bunch of heathens. They don't want to say Christmas to offend anybody. Well, here I am, a bunch of kids and adults alike. The giant crowd. So, I got a big stack of $1 million bills in my hand. I start handing them out. I think I got at least anywhere from 12 to 15 out before a mom walks up to me with three or four of them in her hand And I'm like, oh, cool, she wants more. That's very common, because kids love these things. But no, she didn't want more. She actually gave him back. And if looks could kill, she'd have gotten a life sentence and ended up like Jodi Arias and not gotten capital punishment. But either way, if looks could kill, I'd have been a dead man. But she just said, we don't celebrate that here, and you're not supposed to be doing this here. And then sent me to the principal. I'm 26 years old, man. I'm not supposed to be getting sent to the principal's office. So, of course, I had to laugh. And she told me I'm not allowed to give those out, whatever. I stopped, but I still managed to get probably a good dozen out there before anybody told me to stop. That's a good thing right there. That's powerful. Especially because the next day, there was a kid who took one, and it was his show and tell project. He was thrilled that I gave him a gospel tract. He's a Roman Catholic, but yeah, we'll work on it. But the fact that he was thrilled that somebody gave him a gospel tract, he made that his presentation for his show and tell the next day. That is awesome. What's not awesome is the fact that the teacher yelled at him and told him to put it away. That is not awesome. And I am very much against that school for it, for that reason. And you should be too. But if you're a little bit more bold, you can use the also from Living Waters, their pamphlet, like a brochure kind of thing, and it's just in bold gold letters, are you good enough to go to heaven? You'll probably have people give them back to you a few minutes after looking at them because of its boldness. Now, a good one to leave places looks just like a wallet. You open it once, it's got like a little credit card stuff. I mean, obviously, by the time you pick it up, you know it's not real. But it's just kind of a fun gimmick. And you open it up a second time, and it's got the gospel message. So it's kind of cool. It's not as effective handing it out. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Because they'll just be like, hey, did you drop your wallet? And they get really mad. I don't know why. For those of you listening out there, maybe you can write to me and tell me why they would have gotten mad. Maybe I've done it to you, and you can explain it to me. But you will never know what will happen after you walk away. So take the first step in sharing your faith. It may not seem like a very big step, but it is a giant leap for your faith. Now, this ministry, Salt of the Oats, the evangelism team within Set the Captives Free Ministry, we are now beginning to embark upon a bigger project. The first thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to be making a series of audio CDs designed for giving out as a gospel tract. Now, I know I just spent the past 35 minutes talking about how pieces of paper are very effective, but I honestly love the spoken word just as much, if not more, than the written word when it comes to sharing the gospel with a non-believer. So what we've done is I have revised a classic message, Thank God for Butts. We do have a free preview of that on this channel, but it's been revised and refined. Sounds a whole lot better than it does on the radio. In fact, I might even replace it with the new one. But it's for the purpose of giving out to people. It works in any CD player. I've tested them. And they're yours if you can give us a donation of any amount. If you're a good distance away where I can't just send it to you myself, pay shipping. But it's to help out the ministry, to spread the gospel. Because it's gotten really good reviews. Everybody I've given it out to, even my toughest critic, my mother-in-law, said it was really good. Now, she doesn't generally have nice things to say about my preaching. She loves me, but she doesn't have nice things to say about my preaching all the time. But she said it was good. And if my mother-in-law said that I did a good job, without smirking. You married men know what I'm talking about. Then it must have been a good job. So it would be a really good new way to be handing out the gospel compiled into a small space. So contact us, send us an email, look us up on Facebook. That's our first project that has officially gone underway. You can have as many as you want for a donation of any amount. Plain and simple. I'm done with that. Next promotion. We are also now printing out our own line of tracks. So far, we have one available. It is a postcard set up in a way as though it were a friend writing a letter to you from heaven. After having seen the joys of heaven, but also seeing the terrors of what happens to those who stand before the throne of judgment and are found guilty. It's very powerful. Once again, I've also gotten very good reviews from a lot of people. Once again, I'd be more than happy to print out a bunch for you to hand out to people for a donation of any amount. It is not to make money off of it, but it is to help out the ministry. It's to help advance the kingdom of God. I'm not looking to take your money. Well, hey, we do need help. And I think that's about it on all of my selling out. I mean, promoting new products. I hope that this has reached you, and I hope that I can have some people handing me gospel tracts sometime in the near future. Think about it, and God bless you all. Remember, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. However, if you put salt in his oats, you'll make him thirsty. That's the purpose of salt of the oats. We hope you enjoyed today's message. To send us a donation or to write to us by mail, our mailing address is P.O. Box 467, Modena, New York, 12548. You can give us a call at 845-883-0089 or email me, Willie Needham, at saltoftheoats@gmail.com. God bless.